Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Oh, thank the Lord for his mercy and his goodness. And I know in this world we do have afflictions. We do fight battles. Oh, there's nothing, you know, that we don't know about that. But praise the Lord, God is with us. And I'm so thankful for his help. I'm so thankful that we could be here tonight. We still have this opportunity, and it's the goodness of the Lord that has brought us here together. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. I know we have so many things to pray about, so many things to talk to the Lord over, and you know, I did get an email today from our brother in the Netherlands, Brother Costa, and anyway, he was just asking for prayer. He heard that the Prime Minister of Greece has declared that all people over the age of 60, they either must go get vaccinated by January the 16th or be fined for not being vaccinated. And oh my, it's 100 euros a month is what he's talking about charging them. And of course, you know, this is just shows again the ugly side of the beast and how the beast has risen to devour the earth. And oh, we are seeing things that we have never seen before. But Brother Costa, he's asking that we pray. He has loved ones in that land of Greece. His father lives in Greece. Actually, Brother Costa is Greek himself. But oh my, he asked that we would pray. You know, we don't know what we're going to hear next in this world that we live in. It's so subject to change, but thank God for the victories. And we know if God be for us, who could be against us? Praise the Lord. I'm believing that we're going to see great things. Oh, as we learn to put all things into God's hands, learning how to trust him like never before, letting him fight our battles for us. Oh my, I believe we're going to see God moving in some very, very special ways as we call upon him, as we realize the greater need with all of these things coming upon the face of the earth. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again that you've helped us. We thank you that we could call upon you, Lord. We thank you that we could gather, Lord. Oh, God, though it's not in person, it's, oh, Lord, it's online. But, oh, God, you are with us, Lord. And, oh, God, you've brought us together, Lord, because you have done a work in our hearts. And, oh, God, we're so thankful. Oh, God, we're so thankful for what you have done, the way that you helped us to realize our great need for the Savior. And oh, Lord, I just pray that this word, oh, God, would penetrate down deep into our hearts. I pray that you would talk to us tonight, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you'd use this message, oh, God, for our edification. Oh, God, for our salvation, Lord. Oh, God, for, oh, God, giving us a greater determination to serve you, Lord, like never before. Oh, God, lead this message, oh, Lord. Oh, God, give me the words. Oh, God, give me the unction, for I know I can do nothing without you, Lord. And I just ask, oh, Lord, for your help. I pray that you talk to us. Oh, God, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but, oh, God, we know that you will be with us even until the end of the world. And, oh, God, you know how to help us to fight every battle. You know how to help us to overcome. And I pray that you'd work in a mighty way in our hearts here tonight, each and every one. Oh, Lord, we just bring it to you, and we thank you in Jesus' precious name, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Yes, it's so wonderful to know the Lord. And you know, I'm thankful for our times of prayer that we've had together. I'm looking forward to another one soon. Just got to get some of the wrinkles kind of taken care of with the Lord's help, and I believe we're going to do that. But, oh, my, no, it's a wonderful thing that we have our God and that we could call upon him. And there's something else that we must do. And the name of this message tonight is contending for the faith. Yes, we must contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As I begin here, I just would like to just mention, for contending, we are earnestly fighting. It may be a struggle, actually, in order to obtain the goal. And, it doesn't take us too long as a Christian to realize when we make up our mind to serve the Lord, when he calls us for his purpose, and, it comes to us, that we acknowledge him, and, oh, yes, we determine that we are going to live for him. It doesn't take too long for us to realize that there are battles that we must fight. We have an adversary. And oh my, he just makes himself known from time to time. But I know one thing. We must never give in. We must keep resisting him. We must keep fighting this battle. And I'll tell you what, it isn't just for us in this time. No, all the saints through the ages have fought this battle. That's right. That's right. And praise the Lord for the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, because in that 11th chapter, we have a list of individuals. Some are named and some are not, who have overcome. Oh yes, they had their struggles. They had their battles. They had to contend for the faith. But praise the Lord, they were overcomers. Amen. Praise the Lord, they were overcomers. And oh yes, we know that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we too can overcome. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If God be for us, who could be against us? Praise the Lord. He knows how to make a way, even when it seems like there is no way. As apparent or obvious, he knows how to help us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go to the book of Jude, and let's read that third verse here that this message begins with here tonight. Praise the Lord. Jude, the little book with one chapter before the book of Revelation. Praise the Lord. Here it says in verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And oh, I think of that, Jude writing this so many years before. And we do believe that he was the physical brother of Jesus Christ, or, through Mary and Joseph, his a stepbrother in that sense. But, here it was on his heart that he needed to give his very best effort, all diligence, to write of the common salvation. And, just all these words here speak, of the salvation that had been given forth by the Lord Jesus and continued by his people, preached on the day of Pentecost. And so he's writing of this, and it's common. It's not like he's making this, up. He's not, writing what he thinks. But no, this is what was given. This is the common salvation that he's referring to. And he felt a need to write to these individuals here in this letter. And he felt it needful to exhort them. And by exhorting, it's almost a way of saying, I entreat, or I pray, or I beseech you. It was very heavy on his heart, I would say. He felt this need, and he's beseeching them, he's exhorting them, entreating them of their need that they should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And oh my, these words here, you know, earnestly, this with all sincerity, you know, with a great effort put forth to contend, to fight, to dispute, to struggle for this which he values so greatly and which we should value so greatly also, the faith. The faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Oh my, and then he goes on, and I don't expect to go through this chapter tonight, but already as he is writing this letter, this epistle, he has many references where he has seen people that had once known the Lord and got to a place where, you know, they didn't value it. They didn't value their faith. And they gave in. And he even refers to the angels that didn't keep their first estate, but went along with Lucifer, and therefore were judged, reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great God, he says. Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. But Jude is feeling a great need here. He's talking about certain men, even in that day, that had crept in among the body of Christians, of the believers. And, you know, we've seen things here. Oh, yeah, you know, it happens sometimes where people may have a pretense and, you know, kind of go along with you, but have other motives in their heart. And, you know, by and by, those motives are made manifest. But, oh yes, as it happened in the time of Jude, I am sure that it is happening in these present moments that we live right now. So I know that there is a great reason to give heed to this that was written so many years ago, that need, that exhortation that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You know, I think I've seen a lot happen even in my own lifetime. I think one thing that greatly distracts from the written word of God is all those versions of the Bible that have crept in and become so accepted, that take away from the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ in many cases. And sometimes there's scriptures that are left out, and other words that, you know, have a different meaning. Sometimes it's, you know, you look at it and say, how could they ever get that? But oh my, yes, there's a struggle going on. And I dare say we have seen a great falling away from the truth as we stand here tonight, as we think upon these things, this process of time that we have lived. And oh yes, again, like I already have said, you know, there is a great need to give heed to that which is written on the pages of God's Word and to take it to heart, to consider it very strongly. Oh, yes, because there are many misinterpretations. There are many that put a different light on the Scripture. There's many that have taken away from its content and misinterpreted it in so many ways. But with the strength of God, with his help, I believe that should be our goal, to hide his word in our hearts, You know, just as I'm beginning here tonight, I'm just thinking of the scripture there in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 15 through 19, where it tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And again, you know, he's talking about due diligence to study, yes, that we might know the word of God, so that we might rightly divide the word of truth. Oh my, if we don't have a foundation in God's word, how could we ever rightly divide the word of truth? How could we interpret it? How could we understand it? How could we put it all together? Because, oh yes, there's a foundation here and it all builds together. And if some part is missing, then it's very likely that we're not going to understand what has been written in God's word. So yes, we're told here, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then we're told in verse 16 here, 2 Timothy, the second chapter, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And oh, there's plenty of that kind of thing. Oh, yes, words that are not profitable. Vain interpretations that are not profitable unto salvation. He's talking about how such, you know, when you build upon that kind of foundation, oh, it's going to increase unto more ungodliness. And then he's given an example here. It says in verse 17, and the word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Oh, isn't that something? Back in the days of Jude, oh, he already had seen this. He had already witnessed this, that there were these contentious people, Hymenaeus and Philetus, and this had this opinion. And, you know, they were going around saying that the resurrection was past already. And obviously, from what is stated here, some were taken in by that deception, by that lie that they were spreading. Some of them that listened lost their faith, overthrew the faith of some. But you know, regardless of misinterpretations and some that would say things that are completely even in opposition to God's word, it tells us in verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to be known of God? Oh, yes, regardless of what the world may think, the lack of acceptance in this world and all the struggles and everything else. You know, they may think we're the greatest oddball that they ever did meet. But the Lord knows his people. He knows those that are his. And as it tells us this, it continues, it concludes here in verse 19 by saying, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Oh yes, that path of sin, those former ways that we all were once involved in. Oh yes, it tells here very clearly that great need for everyone that nameth the name of Christ to depart from iniquity. Oh, that condition of sin, that old way of life, that old man, those old tendencies, those old lies, all those raunchy things we once did. Oh, what a need. And how important to give heed to this which is written here in God's word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I would like to go to the book of Matthew here at this moment. Let's go to Matthew 5. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Of course, Matthew 5 begins the Sermon on the Mount, and we have that passage of Scripture, which we call the Beatitudes. But I'm going to go a little past them at the moment. I'm going to go to verse 13. Jesus said in verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Oh, this portion of Scripture, I think it's been on my heart for maybe a month or so. But we think of salt, you know, if we eat something that is salty, it's quite likely that we're going to end up thirsty. Because salt has that tendency to, you know, if there's a lot that we've consumed, yes, then we'll be thirsty. And so if we apply this spiritually, God's people being the salt of the earth, our lives should make people thirsty for the living water. Oh, yes, for the things of God. Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. But it asks here, you know, if that salt has lost his savor, his saltiness, in other words, wherewith shall it be salted? You know, what good would the salt shaker be if, you know, it had no flavor? It didn't do any salting, you know, it didn't add anything to the food. Savor, flavor, all of that, you know, it would be worthless. And so this is compared to the spiritual. Yes, salt was greatly used in the times of Jesus Christ when he walked this earth. And one way it was often used for a preservative. And you know what? It'd keep food longer because of that ability. And that's another thing to consider. Oh my, how we need that salt to keep us in this world. Oh, to keep us walking with the Lord. But if those elements aren't there, you know, if it's lost its savor, then again, what good could it be? And of course, you know, in this time, sometimes we have used salt, you know, help us in slippery conditions and all. But, you know, in that time, what they would do with salt, if it no longer had its savor, then they would just cast it out. So that, you know, you just walk upon it. You would just trot over it. And it had lost its worth. It had lost its value. Oh, how we need to have that salt here as the children of God. In so many cases, I fear that people who call themselves Christians have lost their savor. They've lost their salt. They've compromised. They become worldly. They become, you know, like everybody else. And therefore, even though they might profess in some ways that they are a Christian, maybe go to church, maybe sing in the choir, do this and that, wear a shirt that advertises, you know, that, you know, they love the Lord somehow. But if the life isn't living in the right way, if the life doesn't have salt to it, there's going to be no conviction to that life. There's going to be no edge to it. There's not going to be any salt there to, oh, help people to want the living water. And I fear that in so many cases, again, with all these so-called modern versions of the Bible, take away from God's word what we read in the King James Bible. You know, I believe that there's been a great watering down, a great erosion of the truth that we're so supposed to buy and sell, not that we're supposed to love more than anything else. You know, that love for the Lord, the love for His Word, on that need for the living water. Oh, yes. How can we bring people to the Lord? We don't have that salt to draw them. Oh, yes, to help them to sense their need for the living water. And beyond that, here in Matthew 5, Jesus talking about his people, he says in verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Verse 16 tells us, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Oh, praise the Lord. I believe if we have that salt, oh, yes, then we also are a light in this world. And oh, we don't want to be as a light that, you know, we would try to hide. No, we want to be that light that's shining brightly. It's on the candlestick. It's up high. It's for all to see. Oh, yes, it's a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Well, that's how we want to be, you know, living the life, not being a hypocrite, you know, not compromising the standards that are in God's word, not compromising his word, not behaving like everybody else does, talking like everybody else, dressing like everybody else. I mean, honestly, we become just like them. If that's the case, no, we want to be that light. Oh, that shines so all men can see through our life that we're living, our good works that glorify our Father which is in heaven. Oh, yes, that we have something to offer to this world. We are a light that shines brightly to tell the world that there is a Lord, that there is a God, that Jesus Christ came into the world. And yes, he is and was the light of this world. Oh, yes, oh, to have that salt so that those that hear our testimony and witness our life, and a lot of times it's more than words. You know, we're being watched. You know, people are going to look at us and consider, you know, are we genuine? You know, what we say, are we living it? You know, there's going to be wonderment. People are watching. But oh, how we want to be salt that has not lost his savor. Oh, yes, something of value. Something that makes others thirsty for the word of God, for the life in Christ. Oh, yes, to become a child of the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's the goal. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And you know, I think another thing that has happened in these times, and I was really thankful that Brother Samuel brought this out on Sunday, because this too has been something that I've gone over and over for quite a long length of time. And that's there in Matthew, the 13th chapter. It's also in Luke, the 13th chapter. But it's the parable that Jesus told about the leaven. And just referencing it right now, going to it, Matthew the 13th chapter, verse 33. Interesting numbers here. But here it tells us here, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And again, I remember quite a few years ago, this was a question over our Skype, and there with Sister Sharon and Brother Chong, and Brother Timothy was a part of that, and we asked that question, and I'd already thought of that question. I hadn't really quite decided, because I could see it going 2 different ways. But, as I've considered it these many years, and I noticed the reference to leaven, and as Brother Samuel brought out, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened, I think this is another indicator of how it is at the time of the coming of the Lord when he returns. Oh my, the precious word of God, that which was once given to the saints, seems like there's been a lot of leaven that has been added to those measures of wheat. And the sad thing is, and it just seems like, as we're seeing and witnessing these times and all that is going on, I think we've seen a lot of leaven come into the churches. Often even people that started out with truth. But again, this process of compromising and giving in and, taking away and adding to takes away from the truth. If you decide to compromise on a point, what's going to happen eventually? You might start out with the truth and then decide, that doesn't fit, or that doesn't fit my lifestyle, or, just a little bit too hard, or whatever at all. But, you start taking a little hunk out, and then pretty soon, down the road, another hunk. And then, a little while later, another bit of it goes. It easily happens when people start taking away from God's word. And I think in this time that we are living, that we are seeing what the process of leavening has done in this world. Oh my, the confusion is so great. And, sometimes, you start out with a conversation with an individual and you honestly think you're getting somewhere. And all at once, it just takes another turn and you feel like you hit a detour or something. Or just a stopping point. And you just see there's, you can't go any further, so it seems, in those cases. But as we're told in Galatians chapter 5, verse 9, Paul was warning there that church, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And Jesus himself, in the 12th chapter of the book of Luke, he said, "Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees," which is hypocrisy. And oh my, yes, if he could say that then, what could be said about these present circumstances? This world that we live in right now, oh my, where so much of the truth has gone another direction, where so much has been compromised, misinterpreted, and taken completely the wrong way. Oh, yes, no, we have a need to fight for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints to contend for. There is a great need because, oh my, that spirit of compromise is so great. Oh, it was great enough in the time of Jude. And how that continued, that process continued. You know, oh, I'm sure the brothers of old Brother Paul, Brother Timothy, Brother Peter, oh my, they could tell. They knew that, you know, after their departure from this world, that all things would soon go another way. And so it was. All the compromises that came in, you know, so many things. Oh, there was a lot of persecution in the church originally. But then we have Constantine, who was a Roman Empire emperor. And, you know, he thought, you know, it was right before a battle. He thought he saw a cross up in the sky, and he felt that, you know, this impression that he needed to fight in that sign, using that sign, in this sign, conquer. It seemed like it came to him about the time of 312. And, you know, it looked like a cross from the sky. And, you know, so therefore he took that as a signal that, you know, there was something to Christianity. And instead of, you know, persecuting the Christians at that point, he began to make Christianity legal and you know, give them that right to, you know, believe their doctrine. And, you know, he began to consider himself some kind of a Christian himself. But, oh my, he didn't really know. He didn't really live the life, you know. He conducted a council there at Nicaea in 325. And, you know, how could someone who was secular lead in spiritual matters? But we see so much begin to come into the church and, you know, all these things. Oh, yes, maybe the Christians were not persecuted after that time, but compromises began to grow. And the value of the great truth of God was lessened, oh, in the minds of individuals. Oh, people began to do things that had not been accepted before. Things like infant baptism. Instead of baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they begin to use the titles. And just so many ways the true word of God was brought down to their levels. And the truth of it was not held to and esteemed. Oh, yes. They lost that salt. And they were no longer that light in the world that they needed to be, those that gave in to the whims of man. By God's grace, however, we're going to stand fast. We're going to walk with the Lord. And I'd like to turn at this point to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Amen, because I believe this chapter has a great deal of truth in it that we need to heed, that we need to listen to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's see how far we can get here tonight. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 1 here in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. So right here, this first verse here, we know that Paul is writing this letter to the church that is at Ephesus. And at the time that he's writing this, he's a prisoner. But oh yes, here he's beseeching them He's urging them. Oh, yes. He's exhorting them that they would walk worthy of the vocation. In other words, that calling, that high calling of God. And you know, there's a lot to think of when we think of that calling. Because when he calls us into this glorious kingdom, we represent his kingdom. As we turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus, we embrace his standards, his ways. His word becomes a part of our thinking. And praise the Lord, we begin to change. That realization that we're not our own, that we've been bought with a price. And that need to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which is God's. Amen, as it tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. But see here, he's telling this church here that need to walk worthy of the vocation. In other words, the calling wherewith ye are called. More words here of advice. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. So obviously, lowliness and meekness. So it's talking about a humble spirit, a gentle spirit, a spirit that is not haughty or proud. In fact, we know that pride has no place in God's kingdom. So yes, he's exhorting them with all lowliness and meekness with long-suffering. Long-suffering, it means to suffer long. Oh my, and not so easy, is it? To be patient, in other words. And he says, forbearing one another in love. Oh yes, it means enduring. You know, I sometimes, oh my, you know, there may be bits and pieces that, you know, we have to pray about. And oh yes, we want to just have a spirit where we esteem each other highly, even above ourselves, willingness to suffer long and to forbear one another in love. And then he says in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, we're going forward. We want to have unity. But see, we cannot have unity with compromise. You know, and with the cost of compromise. And so often, you know, that's what happens when people strive to get along, yet, you know, they're going to agree to compromises. But I don't really think that we can deviate from God's word. We can't change it. We can't interpret it to our own benefit. And it goes on to tell us in verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. And okay, so here we're told right away, you know, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know it's his church, and there's some wonderful descriptions of it here in the scriptures. But oh yes, though the body be made of many individuals from many different backgrounds, different kindreds, you know, different ancestry, all of that, yet in Christ we are one. We are one body, as there is only one body and there is only one spirit. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So you can't get around that. One body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Oh, praise the Lord. And then he goes on to tell us in verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So yes, he's stating it very clearly. You know the doctrine. Oh, the faith that was delivered to the saints. You know, we see all the single notations here, all the ones here. You know, again, God's ways are not built on compromises. No, we must establish our doctrine on the Word of God, what it declares, what it states. It's not meant for private interpretations. And then verse 6 tells us, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. Praise the Lord. All of these ones right here. Praise the Lord. You know, the very word denomination indicates division, splinters, things that have been pulled apart from that which was original, you could say. And oh my, I'll tell you what, that's what's happened in this world as the leaven has come in and people have compromised this and that and given heed to their own doctrines and their own ways. You don't have the same thing after a while. It's been compromised. It's been changed. It's been weakened. It's not the same. You know, Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 16, verse 17. I just want to read this verse here. It says, now I beseech ye, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. I think that's pretty clear cut. You know, the doctrine that has been established by the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles which brought it forth in the New Testament church. And so here he's telling them in Romans 16, verse 17, the need to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. See, you know, again, we cannot interpret it to our own liking. God's word doesn't change. God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And there's also a similar admonishment in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 10. I'll read it. It says, now I beseech ye, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Oh, praise the Lord. That is something to strive for. And the way Paul is putting it there in his words to the church at Corinth, there's a need to work on that end, to pray through the differences, to pray through the things that are not easily understood, so that we can be on the same page. Amen. Amen. So going back here to Ephesians 4, verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Praise the Lord for that undeserved love that he's given us. According to the measure of the gift of Christ, you know, that he is personally given to us as individuals. And then he says in verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And praise the Lord, there was a great work that was done when Jesus ascended into heaven. And of course, before he ascended back into heaven, he went first down into the lower parts of the earth, as it tells us in verse 9. Now he that ascended, what is it but he that also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And praise the Lord, I believe there was a mission that he did. It speaks of it in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. And, you know, I believe there were some individuals that he had to present himself to and make the gospel known. Oh, praise the Lord. And he even talks about those that were disobedient in the time of Noah while the ark was preparing there in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. It tells us that he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Oh my, the long-suffering of God. Praise the Lord. You know it's beyond our comprehension, but there was a work that was done. Oh yes. Oh, it tells us in the 4th chapter, 1 Peter, verse 6, For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. So there was a work that was done. That Jesus went down to the lower part of the earth to fulfill that which needed to be done, to present the gospel to those who were in darkness. And oh yes, who had not yet heard the good news. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is fair. Our God is amazing. Oh, praise the Lord. He has it all figured out. Amen. So verse 10 tells us, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Praise the Lord. But I would like to emphasize the next few verses here. It tells us in verse 11, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And look at verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, that's what we're striving for. Oh, yes, to get to that place. Oh, where we are perfected in the Lord, where we become mature in the Lord Jesus. And it's going to be a process. Because when we first come to the Lord, he takes us as we are. And oh my, you know, there's that need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, there's going to be a striving to learn, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh yes, so you know, there's this work that, you know, we strive to do. And he gave some apostles, those that were sent forth, the apostles that we read of in the New Testament, and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, all for their specific works. And, you know, he says, for the perfecting of the saints. Oh, praise the Lord. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Right, so that we could all come together in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and be united in that faith. You know, not all at, you know, a different angle and, you know, with a different goal and, you know, a different way of thinking. No, we need to come in the unity of the faith, it tells us in verse 13. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. That means a mature person in Christ. One who is striving for the mastery over the flesh, over the world, over the devil, you know. And it's an everyday thing, you know. I just, every day, you know, to put down that flesh. and to turn it over to the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can become the child of God that he wants us to be in him, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so we're told in verse 14 that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Oh, yeah, you know, that's the story of so many, you know, tossed to and fro, you know, oh, I believe this today and tomorrow is something else. And oh, you know, oh, that sounds good. And then another thing comes along and that sounds better. You know, so tossed and turned. No, we have to turn to the scripture. We have to have something, oh, you know, to stand on. You know, there has to be something that's forever established, forever settled in heaven. So, you know, we can know truly what God expects and how he thinks. Oh, so thank God for this precious word of God. Oh, yes, that hasn't changed. Oh, these words that, you know, have come through the ages down to us, even to this moment, that we can look to and pray over. And, oh, yes, and, you know, trust the Lord to show us what we need to know so that we will not be like children that are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man. Oh, the craftiness of man. You know, there's people that are skillful in that kind of cunningness, that kind of craftiness, and deliberately, you know, come into the picture to try to deliberately deceive, distract, to hinder. And oh, yeah, the devil will set that up, you know. Oh, that is, you know, what he is hoping, that, you know, we'll just fall into some kind of trap, a snare, and be taken in, be deceived. Oh, it's possible, isn't it? But we're told in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord puts us together as a body, that one body that is referred to in that fourth verse here in this chapter. He puts the whole body together. It's, you know, you can imagine a puzzle. And all the pieces, you know, sometimes if you've ever worked a puzzle, you know, you might think, oh, this piece looks like it should fit in that spot. But you know what? It may not. You take that piece and you try to stick it there and oops, it's just off. It's, you know, it's not exact. Something is wrong. But the Lord puts his body together, and that's the process even going on right now. The whole body of the Church of the Living God put together, joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, oh, the Spirit of the Living God working in us. Oh, the Living God talking to our beings. Oh, yes, so that he can work. Oh, on every aspect on every part. Oh, yes. So to put it all together, oh, to that point where it's complete in Christ Jesus. Amen. Complete in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians 12 here and read a small portion of scripture here. I could read more, but I don't believe time is going to allow. It tells us here in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 12. For as the body is one, and of course he's talking about the body of Christ, and hath many members, and here this is a description, you know, he puts us all together. Together, many members, but into one body. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. Praise the Lord. He is the head. Praise the Lord. And he has laid the foundation. And praise the Lord, if we're his children, then we build on that foundation. And it tells us in verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. The gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, that one Spirit. And praise the Lord, we're baptized into one body. Oh, the significance of baptism. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's greater than a lot of people would like to think or assume, you know. Just looking at a few verses here. I know I don't have a whole lot of time, but praise the Lord. Galatians again. Galatians chapter 3 here, verse 27, it says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ, or Christ Jesus. Turn my page here. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, one in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. But see, we are baptized into Christ. And it signifies our putting on Christ. Amen. Let's look at Colossians here, the second chapter. It tells us here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And see, here's a warning. Paul, as he's writing this letter to the church at Colossae, you know, he's warning them that they would not let any come in and bring in their philosophies and their vain deceits, that which is rooted after the tradition of man, after the rudiments or the fundamentals of this world, and not after Christ. You see, that's hugely what has happened on many, many fronts, that yeast that has come in, you know, when philosophers have brought in their philosophies, or, you know, onlookers have brought in their vain deceits, and you know, it's not rooted in Christ. It's not found in his word. It's after the tradition of man, after the rudiments or the fundamentals of this world, and not after Christ. He tells us in verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Oh, we don't have to look to other philosophies and other ways of thinking to know Christ. Oh, honestly, please don't do that. Because we are complete in the Lord Jesus. He is the head of all principality and power. Praise the Lord. Oh, he's over all, in other words. Verse 11 tells us, in whom also ye are circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. It's talking about our repentance from our dead works. Oh, and it's comparing it to circumcision, which was demanded under the law. And even before the time of the law, oh, they would be cut off from the people if they were not circumcised, that is, if you were a man. But, oh my, you know, the circumcision of the new covenant is made without hands. It's not physical. But what it is, it's a putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. In other words, that's repentance. That's turning our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's turning away from the old man, the old ways, you know, all those other things that were a part of our past, the traditions of men and all of that, those philosophies, all those other religions that we maybe had clung to at one point, you know. And then it tells us in verse 12 here, in this second chapter of Colossians, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Oh, praise the Lord. That baptism in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ represents our burial with him. Oh, praise the Lord. We go down into the water. It represents our dying out to the old man. Oh, the old ways of the flesh. That life of sin. Oh, the sins that we had committed when we knew not the Lord. And yes, we come up out of that water. It represents our being risen with Christ through the faith. Oh, yes, believing in the operation of God, his working, his power. Oh, yes, his salvation. Who hath raised him from the dead. And praise the Lord, you know, with that burial in the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, comes the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. That new life in Christ. Oh, yes, which begins to work in our being as we begin to put on Christ. As we identify with him in the waters of baptism. Oh, yes, considered being buried with Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins. Oh, praise the Lord with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. It tells us in verse 13 here, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Praise the Lord. Oh, that is so beautiful. We were dead in our sins, in trespasses. That life without Christ is a deadness. It takes the resurrecting power of the Lord Jesus Christ to make us alive, to quicken us. Oh, yes, to give us that hope of forever living with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that Spirit of the living God. Oh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. All those things of our old man. All those old tendencies. All those old ways. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for that work that he brings forth when we identify with him. in the waters of baptism. Oh, praise the Lord, and oh, yes. Not only, oh, just, you know, the joy of that, but oh, yes, the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord, the Spirit of the living God that comes to dwell in our very being. But you see, for identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ, how important it is to do according to the way that he has determined. Oh, yes, that need, as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Oh, that need, as, you know, oh, they asked him what they must do to be saved. Oh, what shall we do, men and brethren, what shall we do? That response that Peter gave forth, the second chapter of the book of Acts, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, praise the Lord, all the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And oh, yes, here we are, these 2,000 years beyond that time when Jesus walked this earth. And how there is a need. We need to give diligence to these things which have been written. Oh, those things that note the common salvation. And as Jude put it, he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Oh, praise the Lord, that's the need of the hour. Oh, to stand up for the word of God, to hide it in our hearts, to allow compromises not to come in. You know, to stand up for that which has been written. To fight, to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Oh, yes, not allowing leaven to eat it up. Oh, yes, but giving continual heed to it so that our life, our living, our thinking, our speaking is all on the rock. And we can be the salt of the earth. Oh, a salt that has its savor. Oh, that goes forth to bring the good news, to live a life. Oh, that reflects the Lord Jesus Christ, the rightful part of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Words that are not watered down, but words with conviction. Salt to make those that are without thirsty for the living water. Oh, praise the Lord, that need to contend, to fight for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And by his grace we will. Amen. Is it in your heart? Oh, it needs to be deep within. By his grace we will. We will stand. We will fight. We will contend. Oh, we will endure until the end. We will keep it in our hearts and not give in to those spirits of compromise. Oh, lukewarmness. All the things that test and try men and women. Oh my, we want to be that city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid, that light. Praise the Lord that all men and women can see, that reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Yes, we have something to contend for. The faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Put it within us, Lord. Give us that determination. And help us to stand fast. Help us to stand true. Help us to contend for that faith which was once delivered unto the saints. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to turn our chorus book to number 78 and sing Keep on Walking by Faith, number 78. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.